Ben. Okay, we're starting today, Kritu Daf Zion. We're going to start a Vav Amud Bet at the words V'hasach B'Shem and Hamishcha. Before we start, I'm just going to remind everyone that we're planning a big Siyum on January 5th at Binyanei Ha'uma, and please come, please register if you haven't yet registered, hadron.org.il, and tell people, tell your friends, get everybody to come, not only for people learning Daf Yomi, for anybody, even if they're not learning Gemara, but they want to support it. And promote Talmud study in general for girls, women. Okay. Hasach b'shemen hamishcha. Tanu rabbanan. Hasach b'shemen hamishcha lebehema v'kelim patur leovdei kochavim ulemeitim patur. One who anoints. Okay, you put shemen hamishcha on an animal or on kelim, you're patur. Okay, we'll see in a minute why. And if you do it to non-Jews or people who are dead, you're also patur. Meaning it's only on a live Jewish person that you're going to be chayav if you use the shemen hamishcha. Bishlama behema v'kelim. I understand behema and kelim dichtiv al basar adam lo yisach. That's what the pasuk says. Al basar adam, don't put it on the basar of a person. Okay, lo yisach, notice it says yisach with two yuds. If you have it in front of you, we're going to darshan that later. Ubehema v'kelim lav adam hu. Okay, behema and kelim are not humans. Meitim nami patur. Dekevan demit. Once he's dead, he's called a dead person. He's not called an Adam. The lav Adam. Elov de kochavim. Here comes the big one. Amai patur ha Adam ninhu. Right? Adam is a general term for humans. What? Elov de kochavim are not Adam. So the Gemara says, lie. In fact, yes, it's true. Dichtiv. They're not considered Adam. Okay? Big, difficult to swallow. Va'atem tzonit tzon mariti Adam atem. Okay, you are my tzon, right? That's about the Jewish people. In Yechezkel, Paskin Yechezkel, Adam Atem, you're humans, okay? You're considered Adam. Atem kruyim Adam, here's the drasha. The Chesed didn't say this explicitly, but this is a drasha. Atem kruyim Adam ve'en ovdei kochavim kruyim Adam. Okay, ovdei kochavim are not called Adam. Okay, hold off, we're going to see. Not everybody agrees with this. But, okay, ovdei kochavim are not called Adam. V'haktiv v'nefesh adam shisha sar elef. Doesn't it say when it's counting the Midianim after the war with Moshe, it says how many were they? Shisha 16,000 were the nefesh adam of the Midianim, calls non-Jews adam. Amarlei ha'hula fuke behema. When they're talking about animals, like they've counted the animals, they were counted the people. So when they talk about people compared to animals, well then they'll call non-Jews humans. But if it says adam plain, without any comparison to animals, then it means Jews and not animal and not non-Jews. V'haktiv, here's another against this. V'ani lo achus al ninvei. Okay, what does it say? Asher yesh b'harbe mishtemesrei ribo adam. Okay, in Sefer Yonah, it says they have shtemesrei ribo adam. There it talks about ninvei, the people, non-Jews, adam. So again, they say same answer. Ha'ula fuke beima. They're also mentioned beimot. So compared to beimot, they're called adam. So the first approach, this one I want to be very specific. The first approach basically believes that adam means only Jews and not non-Jews. V'ibait ema. However, there's a second approach, and I'm going to prove that this approach also matches something we see elsewhere, where they don't exactly view non-Jews as excluded from adam. But in fact, non-Jews are included in a pasuk where it says Adam, where it's not comparing it to animals, and we'll see that in a minute in Sanhedrin. Tani Ida Hasach, Ibait Ema Kedekatani Tana Kameda Rabbi Elazar, or Rabbi Elazar, I'm not sure which one. Elazar. Kol sheyeshno besach, yeshno bebal yisach, v'kol sheyeno besach, eino bebal yisach. Okay, what does this mean? What we're saying, al basar adam lo yisach, means if a Jew's commanded lo yisach, it's not one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. A non-Jew is not commanded, right, to not anoint. The question is, can a Jew anoint a non-Jew? Can he put the Shemen HaMishcha on a non-Jew? So it says here, therefore they're going to say, whoever's Bisach, whoever's in the Isser of Sach, you can't anoint, is also Yeshno Bebal Yisach, means someone can't put on him. But someone who's not Bichlal the Mitzvah at all, there's no commandment to the non-Jew not to Lasuch, therefore, he's also not going to be part of Lo Yisach. Okay? So that's what it means. Whoever's in the commandment, Lasuch, Asur Lasuch, is also Bebal Yisach. Don't anoint him. And therefore, he's not in the mitzvah here. So because he's not in the mitzvah, he's not in the mitzvah at all. Okay? Because he's not commanded.
Do they make a difference between Ovdei Kochavim and anybody who's not Jewish?
It seems to be here anyone who's not Jewish. Ovdei Kochavim seems to be a term that relates here to anyone who's not Jewish. But that question is really always, it's unclear every time it says Ovdei Kochavim whether they mean specifically idol worshippers or, right, the big nafka mina is Christians who aren't necessarily considered idol worshippers because they worship one God. Would they be included? But this one seems to be saying Adam is Jews and not anybody else.
It's interesting if this passed the censor.
So first of all, interesting you say it passed the censor because, first of all, the wording used here is different. If you look here and you look in the Koran, it calls them here, and it's often in that the censor did have something to do with it because here, it's actually not here. It's in the next sugya. It says Yamir Dato, and there it calls him a Mishamed, it calls him a different Lashon. Actually, it wasn't this. I didn't look in the Koran if it says something different here. But anyway, okay, Sanhedrin, Sugyan Sanhedrin Nun Tet, just so that you don't have this bad feeling in your stomach, what do you mean non-Jews are not called Adam? There's a Sugyan Sanhedrin where it says, Rabbi Meir, Omer, they quote Rabbi Meir saying, Minayin shafilu ovdei kochavim va'osek b'torah, shehu kekohen gadol. How do we know that an ovdei kochavim who learns Torah is like a kohen gadol? Sheneemar asher yaseh otam ha'adam v'chai b'hem. Notice what it says here, right? That you should live by the mitzvot, and it uses the word ha'adam. Kohanim levim v'yisraelim lo ne'emar ela ha'adam. It doesn't say Jews or kohanim levim v'yisraelim, it says ha'adam. Halamadita shafilu ovdei kochavim va'osek b'torah, hareu kekohen gadol. Okay, and they say if a non-Jew keeps the mitzvot, and then there's some contradiction there, and they say, well, it's obviously talking about Shavu Mitzvot B'nei Noach, but the point is, he can, right, the word Adam there obviously includes non-Jews. So what you see here is there's two different approaches. Is a non-Jew excluded here because non-Jews are not considered Adam, versus those who think, no, a non-Jew is considered Adam, he's just excluded because he's not part of this mitzvah, he's not part of the commandment.
There's a nice note here that differentiates between Ish versus Gever and Nosh, Adam versus Ish, Gever and Enosh, so that they're all different words and how you choose it, but this says that the other ones can be pluralized and Adam can't, which suggests that the Jews are unified, whereas others who can be Ish or Anashim or whatever have are never going to be as unified because they're not subverted. They have their individual wants and needs, which the Jews are not.
Okay.
So, but no matter what you call them, it still seems wrong to be able to anoint them with Hashem and Amidah.
Again, there's a matter of whether, again, it's do you get karet if you did it?
No,
do you get a karet if you did it? Nobody thinks you should do it. It's just do you get karet if you do it, right? In other words, this isn't the Isur. The Isur is don't take it and use it on yourself, basically. You know, if you go with the line that it's those who are part of the mitzvah, then it means really don't put it on yourself or anyone else who's chayav not to do this. And that's when you get karet. You wouldn't get karet for doing that. You're right. It does seem weird why it's not karet. It seems pretty bad. But that's the way they view it. Okay, Tanya Idach. Another brayta about this issue. Hasach b'shemen ha'mishcha lebe'ema v'kelim lovdei kochavim u'meitim patur. Lemelachim v'kohanim, Rabbi Meir mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda poter. Okay, so there's a machloket, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. What if you, okay, this talks about what we said before, but then it adds, if you anoint king, not by pouring Shemen and Mishcha, this is either a melech who was already anointed or didn't need to be anointed, or a Kohen Gadol who was supposed to be anointed and was already anointed, but now he doesn't need to be anointed anymore. What if you put Shemen and Mishcha on them, stam? So Rabbi Meir says you're chayav, Rabbi Yehuda says you're patur. Okay, we're going to get back to why soon. Bekama yesuch v'yehe chayav, in order to be chayav, how much? Rabbi Meir omer koshu, Rabbi Yehuda omer kezay. It's any amount you'll be chayav. Rabbi Yehuda says no kezay. So first of all, how am I Rabbi Yehuda patur? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda just say you're patur if you put it on kings and kohanim? So why is he all of a sudden giving a shiur that you'll be chayav? So I said, no, you misunderstood. Ki patur Rabbi Yehuda gabe melachim b'kohanim, but gabe hedyot mechayev. When they gave the shiur, they were talking about the general prohibition to anoint anybody with the Shemen HaMishcha. For that, Rabbi Yehuda says you need a shiur, and Rabbi Meir says you need a kezayit. So before we go back, again, this is another sign of a bit of a weird structure of this Masechet, where they say all sorts of things and they only explain them later. So first we're going to explain the second machloket about the shiurim. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, b'may pligi. What's the root of their machloket? Am Rabbi Yosef b'ha pligi. This is their machloket. Rabbi Meir savar al basar adam lo yisach k'tiv. Uchtiv asher yitei mimenu al zar. Okay, that's the pasuk where it brings up karet. Asher yitei mimenu al zar. If you put it on a zar, yikaret me'amav. Okay, he'll get karet. It also says al basar adam lo yisach. Now the assumption is yiten to give there has to be a shi'ur of netina in general. And it says, don't put something, like, I'll give you an example. It says on a minchat chotev, when you do the olevi yored and you bring a mincha instead of, you can't afford all the others, you bring a mincha, it's called minchat chotev. If you remember, we learned that some of the minachot have livona and some don't have the livona, the frankincense. And minchat chotev, there's no livona. And if you put the livona on, you're chayav. Okay? Now, to put the livona on, to be chayav, you have to put a shear of livona. It has to be a kazayit. Okay? It needs a shear. But when it says lo yisach, the assumption is you can't anoint in any way. It doesn't ever talk about a shear when it comes to sicha. So the assumption is any kind of anointing, it doesn't matter, shear. In this context, though, there's lo yisach, which doesn't have a shear, and then there's lo yesher yitei mimenu, where it talks about the karet, where nitina generally comes with a shear. So the question is, do we say it's like sicha that it's kol shear? Do we say it's like other cases of nitina where it needs a shear? So ma sicha kol shear, af nitina kol shear. So Rabbi Meir says, no, just like sicha, you don't need a shiur. Also the nitina here, you don't need a shiur, you're going to be chayav on anything. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, yafina nitina da'alzar mi nitina da'alma. We're going to learn from the other nitinot to this nitina. Ma nitina da'alma, like by the Levona, kizayit. Af nitina da'alzar, kizayit. Okay, that's the first machloket. But then, aval sicha lemimshach melachim u'koanim, everyone agrees, though, when you anoint a Kohen Gadol, or the Kohanim, or the Melachim, or the kings, divrei hakol kol shu. Everyone agrees, though, that anointing can be done with any amount of, you don't need a specific shear of oil to anoint them with. Va'amar Rav, right there, machloka was only in the Isser to do it. Va'amar Rav Yosef, v'may pligei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going to go back to the machloket, gabei melachim v'koanim. What's the machloket about? Rabbi Meir savar v'ashe yitei mimenu al zar k'tiv. You're going to be chayav on a king or a kohen if you do it randomly, not because you're anointing them. They've already been anointed. Or, like we said, the king doesn't always need anointing if his father was king. But since now they don't need anointing anymore, they're considered a czar. And yes, you're going to get karet for that. Rabbi Yehuda savar b'inan adi ika czar mitchila tovat safo. You need, in order to be a czar, that you're going to get karet for anointing someone, they have to be someone that's, what's a czar in general? It's someone who's entirely removed from the parsha of Shemana Mishcha. Melech bekohemi, ikar lav zarim havu. They, from the beginning, weren't, right? In the beginning, they weren't removed from this Isur. They were actually, you were supposed to anoint them. So therefore, even now that you don't need to anoint them, they're not considered zarim. Am Rav Ika Bered Rav Ami, v'azdu l'tamayu, and they actually match their shita in another situation. Okay, here we're going to talk about a bat kohen. I always love this sugyot, being a bat kohen, right? How much is a bat kohen connected or disconnected once she gets married, right? And maybe once something else happens. So bat kohen sheni seli Yisrael, if you remember, there's certain halachot for a bat kohen, okay? Even though she kind of loses her rights when she marries a Yisrael, she does have certain things. Achla b'truma, let's say she eats truma. After she's married to Yisrael, she's not allowed to eat truma. Mishalemet, now, if you eat truma, you have to pay the value of the truma that you ate, and add an extra chomesh, a fifth, which is really a quarter. Mishalemet et hakeren ve'ena mishalemet et hachomesh, umitata b'sreifa. Okay, so number one, since she was a bat kohen from the beginning, even if she marries Israel, she only has to return the value of what she ate, and she doesn't need to add the chomesh. Umitata b'sreifa. If she does znut, she's a married woman and she sleeps with someone else, she gets a worse punishment. It says in the Torah that a bat kohen, if she becomes a zona, she gets sreifa. Okay, zona here means a married woman who sleeps with someone else. Niseit le'echam min apsulim. But what if she marries a halal? If she marries a halal, at that point she can no longer, let's say she gets divorced or he dies, she can no, well, if she gets divorced, obviously she can't marry a kohen, but let's say he dies, she can no longer marry a kohen. She's removed herself by marrying a halal, removed herself from being able to marry a kohen, which means she's basically disconnected herself entirely from the kahuna. So now the question is, do those same things, that we called her a bat kohen before, is she no longer considered a bat kohen? So here we're going to see a machloket. So what do we say here? Mishalemet keren v'chomesh umitata b'chenek, divrei Rabbi Meir. She goes back to being a regular person, not a bat kohen anymore. She has to pay the extra. She gets chenek, not sreifa. V'chachamim omrim echadzo v'echadzo mishalemet keren ve'ena mishalemet hachomesh. Umitata b'sreifa. Chachamim, which is going to match Rabbi Yehuda, says no. Since she was once a bat kohen, she's still a bat kohen. It doesn't matter that she married a chalach. Whereas Rabbi Meir, which matches what he said before, melech and kohen, right? They have to be zarim all the time. These are not zarim, and therefore they're not chayav. Whereas Rabbi Meir says no. She, right now, she removed herself from being a bat kohen, therefore she's no longer considered a bat kohen, just like with the sach. They're no longer able to be anointed, therefore if you anoint them, you're chayav. So this seems to match. I'm Rav Yosef. Machloket benitinat shemen ha-mishcha u'b'shinuye deshaninan. The machloket, now we're going back to the shiurim. The machloket about the shiurim were if you use shemen ha-mishcha and b'shinuye deshaninan. And according to the drashot that we said, do we learn netina from Saf or do we learn netina from other places? Aval netina da'alma, but other cases of netina in the Torah, divrei akol kezayin. But they all agree about any other netina, like the putting the levona on the minchat choteh. Everybody agrees there, the shear is a kezayin. So he just wants to clarify. Don't think that this means any netina. Is it Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir is going to say it's kol shehu. No, just the netina in our case. Tana kameda Rabbi Elazar. Somebody brought a braita before Rabbi Elazar. Kol sheyeshno besach, yeshno bebal yisach. Now we're going to darshan these two yuds. Okay, anyone who's besach is also bebal yisach. But kol sheeno besach, eino bebal yisach. Here's what we saw before about the non-Jew. Right, you have to be within the prohibition of you can't anoint to also be in the prohibition of you can't be anointed. Amar le shapir kamarta. So Rabbi Elazar said, "What you said makes a lot of sense. Why? Because lo yisach tiv fekaribe lo yasich. Because there's two yuds. Lo yisach means you shouldn't be anointed. Also, could be read if you move the yud to after the samach. One of the yuds could also be read as lo yasich. You can't anoint. So therefore, lo yisach means you can't be anointed. It could be read as you can't anoint, and that's why we can connect those two things. It kind of gives it a little drasha from the pasuk." Tane Rav Chananya kamei de Rava. So now Rav Chananya brought a braita in front of Rava. Minayin lekohen gadol shenatal mishemen hamishcha sha'al rosho v'natan al b'nei me'av minayin shehu chayav. If a kohen takes the shemen hamishcha that was on his head, and the kohen gadol gets anointed, there's a little extra shemen there, he takes it and he rubs it on his b'nei me'av. He rubs it on his intestines, gives himself a little massage there. Is that, right, what are we going to say? He's chayav. Because what does it say? Shenemar basar adam lo yisach. You can't use it on your basar, meaning, right, you can't even take it, if you were using it beheter, you can't use it and then anoint yourself. But now Rav Acha says to, the son of Rava says to Rav Ashi, why is it different from the following braita? Kohen shesach b'shemen shel truma. Now we're going to compare shemen of mishcha to shemen of truma. Now shemen of truma is allowed to kohanim, but it's not allowed to a zar. So let's say a kohen anoints himself with shemen shel truma, which he's allowed to do. Ben bito Yisrael mitagel bo. If he now takes that same oil that he used of the truma, okay, that he anointed himself with, and he rubs it on his grandson, who's a Yisrael, because the daughter married a Yisrael, and now the son's a Yisrael, the grandson's a Yisrael, who's not allowed to use truma. If he uses the truma, eino choshesh. In other words, he's allowed to do it and doesn't need to worry. If it was already used, now here we get that. Right, something that was already used, we saw this before, it's kind of like naset mitzvato, right? There's no istor hana'ah anymore. Once he used it, he basically turned it into chulin, and once it's chulin, it can be used. So why is that different from the shemen hamishcha? So Amalei, Ravashi answered him back, hatam, that's different, because why? It says by truma, umetubo ki chaleluhu. You're going to die if you use the truma if you're a zar, because you've desecrated it, you've profaned it. But, so k'tiv, that's what it says in the pasuk there. So why does that mean anything? Because kevan dechalale ha'itachil. Once you used it, once the kohen used it for his own purposes, he already turned it into chulin, so to speak. He used it, it's no longer sanctified. So at that point, anyone else can use it. But aval gabe shemen ha'mishcha k'tiv, what does it say about a kohen? This is in the pasuk where it says the kohen can't be mitameh. La'viv limo la'chivu la'chato lo yitama lehem b'motam. This is the Kohen Gadol. Ki nezer Elohav al Rosho. Because the Shemen HaMishcha is al Rosho. Notice the way it describes it. Ki nezer Elohav alav. Shemen HaMishcha kar yeh rachmana. De'af agav de'ita alav lo itachil. obviously he doesn't always have the Shemen HaMishchah on his head, but it's as if he always carries the Shemen HaMishchah on his head, meaning it's still called Shemen HaMishchah even once it's used. And therefore, there's no chilul here. There's no pidyon. There's no redemption. It doesn't turn from kekdesh to chulin, and that's why you can't use it. Okay, finish that section. We're now moving back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we mentioned these 36 items, a bunch of them we went into. Then the Mishnah started saying, al elu chayavim, okay, read, al elu chayavim, al dono karet, I'm not reading exactly, let me read it inside, va'al shigigato chatat, right, if you did the following 36 things, bemezid, purposely, you get karet for them. Shigiga, if you did it by accident, you get chatat. Va'al lo hoda shelahem, and if you didn't know whether you did them or not, you bring an asham talui. Remember, that was that korban that you bring that kind of is hanging there until you find out what you did or not. Katane chutz mi mitamei mikdash v'kodashav. Then it says, except for, there's an exception to the rule, someone who goes to the mikdash, tamei, or someone who eats kodshim when he's tamei, impure. Now, which one is this referring to? The zadon kare, the shigato chatat, or the alono dalo, asham talui. Mimai mafikle, what's it excluding it from? Hachi katani. This is what it means to say. Chutz mi mitamei mikdash v'kodashav she'ei mevi asham taloi. Why? Because, remember we learned, the asham taloi is only brought on a chatat kfu'a. If you did it b'shogeg, you bring a regular korban chatat, as opposed to a sliding scale chatat, where the olevi yored. And on mitamei mikdash v'kodashav, you bring an olevi yored, and therefore there's no asham taloi on it. Now the Gemara asks an interesting question. Here we get into, if you remember, or if you know this, Yom HaKippurim has the status that it's mechaper. Okay? It has, the day itself is mechaper. We say that, right? Itzumo shel yom is mechaper. So now they say, there's another exception when you don't bring an Asham Tavui. That's if, b'nitnei nami, chutz mi mi sha'avar alav Yom HaKippurim, she'em mevi Asham Tavui. What is Asham Tavui? It gives you atonement until such time that you figure out what you did wrong and you bring a Korban Chatat. But if you didn't bring your Asham Taloi yet, let's say you sinned the day before Yom Kippur and you didn't have a chance, or you just didn't get to the Beit HaMikdash to bring it. You sinned in the summer and you just haven't gotten to the Beit HaMikdash. Yom HaKippurim comes, that's fine. You get atonement. You don't need to bring any more. If it's now post Yom Kippur, you don't need to bring an Asham Taloi. So why didn't it mention that as an exception in the Mishnah? If it was if the whole thing is it was mentioning exceptions, you don't have to bring an Asham Taloi. That should have been brought. Amar Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish answers, Ki katane hecha de'ite lechatat v'rachmana patre avar alav Yom HaKippurim leite lechatat deka kiperle. So they say they were talking about cases where if it would still be there, you would have a chatat. You would have to bring a chatat. In other words, you still have a sin there, and it's just that the Torah patred you from bringing a korban chatat. But in this case, once Yom HaKippurim came, you don't even have a sin anymore. The sin was cleared entirely. So therefore, it didn't mention this case because you've already been atoned for entirely. This is the case where the chatat exists, but because it's a chatat olevi yored, you don't bring the Asham Taloi. If Yom HaKippurim passed, you don't even have a sin anymore. Your sin is removed entirely. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with that approach. He says, Amar b'miva'et. And here comes even something more interesting that we're going to discuss, which is what if you disregard Yom Kippur entirely? Is Yom Kippur mechaper anyway? Okay, this is fascinating, right? What's the power of the kapara of Yom Kippurim? Does it work for someone who doesn't care about Yom Kippurim? Or says, Yom Kippurim can't possibly atone for me. Let's say you just don't believe in the atonement of Yom Kippurim, okay? Even if, let's say, you fast and you do everything, but you don't really believe that it's going to atone for you. You say, and not just, let's say, it's not so much that you don't believe in it, but you kick it. That's what Miva'et means. You say, this clearly doesn't atone for me. Dika Amar, Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, Di Hadarbei Batar Yom HaKippurim, Ba'elatuye Asham Taloi. Okay, it's said about a Miva'et that Yom HaKippurim doesn't redeem him, doesn't atone for him, and therefore, if, let's say, he comes to Yom HaKippurim and he says, clearly this is not going to atone for me. I don't really believe in this stuff. And then after Yom HaKippurim, he does tshuva again and he says, oh no, I really do believe. Then he has to bring an Asham Taloi, okay? Because the Asham, right, the Yom HaKippurim, if he's chayav an Asham Taloi, right, then Yom HaKippurim doesn't resolve it for him. Rish Lakish Safar, Rish Lakish holds, this was Rabbi Yochanan, Miva'et Nami Mechapar Alei Yom HaKippurim. There's a machloket, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, about HaMiva'et. Does it atone for you or doesn't atone for you? Very interesting machloket. And they're going to say now, it's just like another machloket that Abaye and Rav have. Ubeplukta ha'omer lo yitchaper li chatati. If you bring a korban chatat, you say, I'm bringing a korban, but I don't think it's really going to atone for what I did. Abaye amar ena mechaper. Abaye says, it doesn't work. Okay, if you don't believe in it, right, this is a little bit like we ended yesterday with the psychology, or 2 days ago, with what was it, the beginning of yesterday's daf, with the psychology, right? Psychologically, if you say this isn't going to atone for me, well, then you don't get atonement. Rava amar mechaperet. Generally, machloka Rava and Abaye, we hold like Rava, right? But here the Gemara is going to say, so you would think then it does work, even if you say that. But soon we're going to say that Rava actually changed his mind about this. And really, it doesn't work for you if you say it's not going to be mitchaper. Now, what exactly is the case where you say lo yitchaper li? The Gemara is going to explain. Hecha da'amar lo tikrav. If you say, I don't want you even to bring my korban because it's not going to do anything for me, well then, dekule amar lo pligi de lo mechaper. Everyone agrees, even Rava, that it doesn't atone. Why? Dichtiv yakriv oto lirtzono. By the pasuk of the korban ola, it says you have to bring it lirtzono. Lirtzono means, right, according to your will, meaning if somebody brings a korban and they force you and you do it again, it's against your will, that's not a korban. So obviously, if you say, don't sacrifice my sacrifice because I don't believe it's going to atone for me, nobody thinks that that works. Ki pligi, they argue in the case I said before, which is, damar tikarev. He says, bring my korban, but velo techaper, but I know it's really not going to do anything. That's when they have a machloket. Abaye amar em chaperet, tahamar lo techaper, right? Pretty obviously, he said it's not going to atone, it's not going to atone. Rav amar mechaperet, kevan da amar tikarev, kapara mimela ate. Okay, since he said, go sacrifice it, the kapara happens anyway. It has nothing to do with what your intent is, which is interesting. We talk so much about korbanot and intention, right? Here we say, it doesn't matter. It's going to atone for you anyway. It's a very interesting machloket here. And what's even more interesting is that hadar be Rava. According to the Gemara, Rava changed his mind. And in fact, it doesn't work if you don't have the right intent. Again, this matches the machloka Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about, is Yom Kippur Mechaper if you don't believe in it working? Kiditanya, how do we know that Rava changed his mind? So now we're going to have a long bright until we get to how we know this. Yachol yehe Yom Kippur Mechaper al Shavin v'she al She'en Shavin. You might have thought Yom Kippur is Mechaper on those who return and those who don't return. We're going to have to explain exactly what this means. So hold off. Vididu, and it's logical to say that it wouldn't be mechaper al she'enan shavin. Why? Uma chatat v'asham. We're going to learn it from chatat nasham. Chatat v'asham mechaprim v'yom ha'kippurim mechaper. Right? Let's compare chatat nasham to yom ha'kippurim because both of them atone for people's sins. Ma chatat v'asham e mechaprim el al shavim. Af yom ha'kippurim e mechaper el al shavim. So just like a chatat nasham only work if you're shavin. Likewise, Yom HaKippurim will only work if you're Shavim. Okay, they take as an assumption about Chatat Nasham, and then they want to learn from there to Yom Kippur. Okay, that's good, right? We had yesterday about the Simanim for Rosh Hashanah, this for Yom Kippur. We're getting ready for that time of year. So now the Brayta says, lo, no, that's not true. You can't make that logical inference. Why? Im amarta b'chatat v'asham she'im mechaprim ala mezik kishogeg. Tomar b'Yom HaKippurim she'mechazer mechaper ala mezik kishogeg. Asham and Chatat are only brought on things you do b'shkaga, accidentally. So therefore, they're less all-encompassing because they only deal with shogeg, whereas Yom HaKippurim includes even mezid. So what do we learn from here? That Yom HaKippurim includes more things. If it can include mezid, maybe it can also include someone who doesn't believe in it. So therefore, you can't learn it, or al she'enan shavim. We'll have to see what she'enan shavim are. So now they say, therefore, you can't learn it from a logical inference, but we can learn it from a pasuk. Okay, Tomar, let me just read a little more. They explain a little more. V'ho'ilu mechaper al mezid kishogeg, since it's all-encompassing, right, it works on mezid also, mechaper al shavim v'she'en shavim. So then you could say it's going to be mechaper on all. Talmud lomar, so now how do you know that it's really not mechaper al she'en shavim? Ach chilek. It says, ach be'esur l'chodesh ha'shvi'i, right, that's the pasuk about Yom HaKippurim. Ach always comes to limit, it limits, chilek. Which means it limits only to Shavim and not to She'en Shavim. So they learn it from a drasha and the pasuk rather than a logical inference. So now the Gemara is going to bring three possibilities to what Shavim and She'en Shavim are. Now if you remember, why did we bring this? We brought this to prove that Rava is Choserbo in thinking that if you say, lo yitchaper li chatati, it's not going to work, right? And in other words, in the end, I'm sorry, he's going to say in the end, right? He's going to change his mind and say, if you say lo yitchaper li, he's going to in the end say it's not going to work. He agrees with Abai. So now they say my shavim b'she'en shavim. Ilema shavim shogeg lo shavim mezid. Maybe Yom Kippurim only works for people who did things b'shogeg and not people who did things b'mezid. Maybe shavim means shogeg, lo shavim means mezid. Can't possibly say that from the Braita because hakatani lo amamarta b'chatap asham v'chulei. The Gemara put up, or the Braita compared shogeg and mezid to shavim b'she'en shavim. So obviously they're not the same thing. Otherwise the Braita makes no sense. Ela ki had ula am Rabbi Yochanan, but maybe this is the way to explain it. Like Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, achal chelev v'ifrish korban v'himir dato. This is where the Koran had a different word here. If you ate chelev and then you took a korban instead, and then you left the religion, okay, before you sacrificed your korban, v'chazarbo, and then you decide to do tshuva and you want to now bring your korban. What do we say? You remember the halachot of dichoy by korban? Ho'il v'nidcha yidche. Since it already got rejected, once you left the religion, you can't take that korban. So, right, you can't use that animal anymore. So now they're assuming, same thing with Yom Kippur. Maybe She'en Shavim means that you left the religion and now you came back. So can Yom Kippurim, right, Yom Kippurim, let's say you sinned. Then you decide to leave the religion entirely. Came Yom Kippurim, you weren't religion, you know, you weren't with the religion at that point. Then you return, can we say that, right, maybe that Yom Kippurim was like dichoy, right? You now got pushed off, you lost your chance, just like you lost your chance with that animal, and now it's not going to work.
There's no concept in Judaism of leaving your religion.
Ah, yafeh. So, right. And not only that, that's what they're going to say here. Nid itche korban gavar bar kaparahu. In other words, there's dichoy by korbanot, but a person, I would say it a little differently than you said, Naomi, but a person can always do tshuva, basically, right? That's why you're never considered leaving the religion. You can always do tshuva, right? And therefore, you're always bar kapara. There's no such thing as dichoy bar kapara. So therefore, you can't say it's that. So now they're finally going to say, Ela shavim de'amar yichaper alai chatati, and she'en shavim de'amar lo techaper alai chatati, shma mina. So therefore, shavim v'she'en shavim means you said, I believe in this, or you said, I don't think this is going to work for me. So if you say, I don't think it's going to work, that's she'en shavim. And then what is the Braita saying according to this? That if Yom Kippur, right, Yom Kippur is not mechaper on those who say, I don't care about Yom Kippur, right? I don't think this is going to work for me. So now what do you see here? Rava must have changed his mind because the Braita, the simple reading of the Braita is that. Okay, that was their whole line of proof. Now we're going to bring a contradiction to this Braita. You might think that Yom Kippurim is only mechaper on someone who fasts and doesn't do malacha and calls it mikra kodesh. But lo nitanabo v'asabo malacha v'lo kra'o mikra kodesh, yacholo yehe Yom Kippurim mechaper. Talmud lamar, Yom Kippurim hu mikol makom. It says Yom Kippurim hu. This day is Yom Kippurim. It's the same pasuk, by the way, where they learned ach, the opposite. This says, if you don't fast and you do malacha on Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippurim is mechaper anyway, right? So you might have, I'm sorry, it's not mechaper.
No.
Wait, no. Yechol lo yehe Yom Kippurim mechaper. So then they say, it is mechaper, okay? It's mechaper. So now they say, right, 1 second, lo yehe mechaper al shenitanet. Right, it's mechaper even on someone who sins. So now they say, utravayu stam sifrahu v'kashena hadade. So these are both stam sifra, it's a midrash halacha, Torat Kohanim it's called, and they seem to contradict, because one says it's not mechaper on people who don't believe in it, and the other says it's mechaper even if you don't fast and you do malacha. So Amar Abai lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, I'm reading according to the Nusach of Rashi. One is Rabbi, one is Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Detanya Rabbi Omer kol averot shebatorah. We're only going to see Rabbi, we're not going to see Rabbi Yehuda. We're just going to take it as their assumption that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. All averot shebatorah, ben asat tshuva, ben lo asat tshuva, Yom Kippurim mechaper, chutz miporek, olu megale panim b'torah, mefer brit. There's only three things it doesn't mechaper for. If you remove yourself from mitzvot entirely, if you show brazenness to the parshanut of the Torah, and if you don't do brit milah. Shim asat tshuva, Yom Kippurim mechaper, v'im lav, en Yom Kippurim mechaper. Just on those three, Yom Kippurim is only mechaper if you did tshuva, but not on all the other things, okay? Meaning, that's the first Braita that said Yom Kippurim is, that's the second Braita that says that Yom Kippurim is mechaper even if you don't fast and you don't do all those things. Okay, there. Yeah, there's more things to be said about this, but this is what they say here.
Why do tshuva at all? Like, let's say you're somebody who's a regular person and hasn't.
Well, first of all, there's probably levels of tshuva, and there's there's different. What exactly this means?
You could sit back and do nothing.
Right. So that's what this is basically saying, that Yom Kippur has the power to atone even without. Okay? The question is, does this also mean when there's the Seir Lazalzel and all that? In other words, there's a thing going on in the Beit HaMikdash which is covering everybody. What about nowadays when there isn't? You know, do they believe it's still that the Etzem of the day has the power? It's a good question. Okay, there's a lot to think about this. Unfortunately, we got to run through. Rav Amar Havaha Rebbe, Aliba Dinafshe, or Havaha Rebbe, they're both Rebbe. Mode Rebbe Vavirot Yom Kippurim Gufe Dilo Mechaper. Dilo Temahachi Kareti Yom Kippurim LeRebbe Kevan DeBachol Shata V'Shata Mechaper Hechi Mishkachala. He says, Rebbe distinguishes between Averot of Yom Kippurim Atzmo and, in other words, not eating, right, eating and drinking on Yom Kippurim. It's not Mechaper on that, but it's Mechaper on everything else. Why? Because he says that otherwise there'd be no karet. The Torah says you get karet for being over on Yom Kippurim, right? Eating or doing malacha, you get karet for. Now, if Yom Kippurim is mechaper on Yom Kippurim's sins, well, then you'd never be able to get karet. Let's say you do something wrong, and immediately you get atonement. So there wouldn't be no karet. So that's his claim. And that would explain the distinction between the brightest. So now they say, wait a minute. Umay kusha, what's your problem with that? Dilma da avad avedata kule le'alya. It's itzumo shel yom that's mechaper, not the night. Let's say you did, you ate at nighttime. Le'rebi kevan d'b'chol shata v'sha, sorry. U'bahade amud ha'shachar mit, and you could have died, get your karet immediately, you could have died, or maybe karet olam haba. Let's say you died immediately, like before the morning came, since only the day is mechaper, then maybe, you know, that would have been a case. De'lohavi yimama de'lechaper, because you didn't have the day to be mechaper. Then they say, well, tinach karet delelia. I understand karet delelia. That means you can only get karet if you did something on Yom Kippurim at night. Karet de yamama hechem ishkachala. But how could you have karet during the day? And maybe because of that, that's why Rava says it must be that it's not mechaper on those things. So then, I'm sorry, Rebbe says. Then they say, it's in this Rava's understanding of Rebbe. Umay kushya, what's the question though? Dilma bahade de ka'achal nama. Maybe while you're eating your meal, nama is bread, but it means while you're eating your meal. Chanachte umtsa, you choke on your bread, umet, and you die immediately. And therefore, there's no time for it to kick in. Dilohavale shehupi yamama, there was no time during the day, dilachaprele. Inami, alternatively. Da'avad avedata samuch lishkiata chama. You did it right by the end of the day, and again, there was no time to get tshuva. Inami bahade da'avad avedata paske mara lishake umet. While you were working in the field on Yom Kippurim, your hoe chopped off your leg and you died. Because there was no time for the atonement to hit in. Then you could get karet. Okay, so we're finished with that interesting section about the power of Yom Kippurim and what could it be mechaperin and whatnot. Okay, now we're going to the Megadef. V'chachamim omrim af ha-Megadef. So now, Chachamim in the Mishnah said, even the Megadef, what? Shneemar doesn't bring a korban chatat because it says Torah chat yeh lachem laoseh b'shkaga yetzah megadef she'en oseh maaseh. Remember, you don't do. There's no maaseh. You curse God. There's no maaseh. So Gemara says like this: My af megadef. So now they say Rabbanan shamu l'Rabbi Akiva detane baal ov velo tane yidoni. This goes back to things we learned before. Rabbi Akiva brought in the baal ov, but he said our Mishnah doesn't include the yidoni. Why? Because the yidoni just puts the bone in his mouth, and then the dead body, like the spirit, speaks through there. Meaning, there's no maaseh actually avera. So therefore, you don't bring a korban chatat. So amrulei. So they said back to him, Maishna de lo maite korban mishum de lepe maaseh. Right? Yidoni. There's no maaseh. Megadef nami lepe maaseh. Megadef also should be patur because there's no maaseh, which Rabbi Akiva didn't agree with. Tanu Rabbanan. So now here's a bright tip about this. Megadef may be korban, ho'il v'ne'amar bo karet, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says the reason the Megadef brings a korban is because it says karet. Ve'omer, and additionally, it says, chet o yisa. It's not v'nasal chet o, it should be chet o yisa, which is a pasuk by Pesach Sheni, where it says, if you didn't bring the korban Pesach in its time, chet o yisa. You know, what is Pesach Sheni? Was not bringing your korban Pesach have anything to do with this? And what? And who's Ve'omer? And what's going on? This bright? It's totally unclear. First, the Gemara, and also What Rabbi Akiva says doesn't make any sense. What does he say? Megadef mevi korban, because it says karet. So the Gemara first asks, beklalahu kol hecha dechti bekaret maite korban? It's not so true that anytime it says karet, you have to bring korban chatat. There's an exception. Ha pesach umila, pesach and brit milah, both of them, dechtibu karet, you get karet if you don't do them. Below maite korban, but there's no korban chatat for those because those are bitul ases, right? You didn't do a mitzvah aseh. So hachi kamar, this is what you should say. This is the way the Braita reads. And now they're going to say that there's a whole bunch of stuff missing from this Braita to make it make sense. And in fact, there's a back and forth between Rabbi Akiva. And what we're reading in the Braita is only Rabbi Akiva, but in the middle of the Braita, there was some discussion. So here's what it says. Migadef mevi korban, that's Rabbi Akiva, ho'il ubabo karet bimkom korban. Now, it's not because it says karet, it's because the pasuk about the Migadef comes up where? None other than in Bamidbar Tefav, right in the context of where it talks about bringing a korban chatat in general. The pasuk about bringing a korban chatat on a shogeg is in Bamidbar Tefav, and in the context of those psukim is where the pasuk about the Megadef appears. So what does he say? Ah, since the karet is b'makom korban, the context there, right, it's like we saw the other day, davar lemeim inyano. Because the context is korban, therefore you bring a korban. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Kasavar migo debai michtav karet ba'alma, Uchtiv karet bimkom korban, shma mina maite korban. Since it could have said the karet of Megadef anywhere in the Torah, it didn't have to specifically put it in this parak. Therefore, because it says it in your korban, therefore, shma mina maite korban. Okay. Ve'omer, chet o yisa ata lirabanan. Okay? Now, the second part is a reference to something the Rabbanan said to him. V'hachi ka'amar Rabbi Akiva lirabanan. This is what Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbanan. Amarito, you said Megadef lepe maase, right? You said, remember Chachamim said Megadef, there's no maase, and therefore you don't get chatat. Mahu Megadef, what is a Megadef? Mivarechet Hashem, it's one who curses God. Ela karet dechtiv lamai ata. Why does it bother to say karet in the pasuk about the Megadef? It's not needed. Why? Well, if it's the Mikalel, there's already a pasuk about the Mikalel where we learn chiyuv karet. If it really said karet in that pasuk, it would be obvious. But it doesn't say karet in that pasuk. What does it say in that pasuk? It says, it's not here. Here. El b'nei Yisrael tedaber lemor, it's v'yikra kafda letefav, ish ish ki yekalel elohav v'nasa avono. Okay, if you curse God, you get a sin. Now, some people say elohav is judges, but let's just assume it's talking about God. V'nasa avono. Here we get to the avono cheto yisa, nasa avono. Okay? You get, nasa cheto, not avono. Nasa avono is the other notar. Nasa cheto, and then it's like the cheto yisa, which we're going to get to soon, which was said by Pesach. So this is what he says to them. He says, right, you could have learned from the pasuk where it says about the mikalel chat karet. Therefore, why does it say karet by us? It must be to say your chayv korban chatat also. Okay? So, amrele, so they say, liten karet lemekalel, dechtiv bemekalel. Oh, sorry, did I skip something? Megadef mevarech Hashem, ala karet dechtiv lemai ata. Okay, so amrele, liten karet lemekalel. So they say, Chachamim said back to him, no. It's to say that you need to give karet. Okay? Now, he says, no. Dichtiv b'mechalel chet o yis. I'm just getting it straight. Nasa chet o. Uchtiv b'pesach sheni chet o yisa. He says, no. Even though it doesn't say karet in the mechalel pasuk, Chamim say it doesn't say karet there. It says karet by the Megadev to teach you karet. Rabbi Akiva says, no. It says in that pasuk of the mechalel, nasa chet o. And it says by Pesach, chet o yisa. Pesach, you get karet if you don't do Pesach. Therefore, we're going to learn Gzeira Shava, also by the Makalel you get karet. And therefore, Uchtib Pesach Sheni Cheto Yisa, Ma Lahalan Karet Avkan Karet. Since that already teaches you the Makalel is karet, the karet by the Megadef is to teach you what? It's to teach you Chatat. You follow? He says, Makalel already says karet, even though it doesn't. Gzeira Shava, from Pesach, you get karet. And therefore, and that's what that whole Braita meant. Okay, so the whole bright of Ve'omer was to further prove his point against Chachamim, to say that we can learn it already from there, that it's karet. So now, and therefore here we learn that you have to bring a korban chatat. So even though it doesn't have a maaseh, there's a special drasha in the pasuk. Tana Rabbanan, et Hashemu Megadef, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, ka'adam ha'omer l'chaveiro, gerafti ha'ke'ara v'chisarta. cursing, what's a megadef? It's like someone who says to his friend, right, you took everything off my plate and you even were mechaser the plate. In other words, you right, by cursing God, right, you kind of wipe out, you say, I don't believe in God, and not only that, but you took away from God something. Kasavar megadef mevarechet Hashem. Now we're going to see some machloka whether megadef is mevarechet Hashem or not. That's called cursing God. Rabbi Elazar ben Azar yomer kadam omer lechavero gerafta kara velo chisarta. Kasavar megadef hainu oved avodah zarah. If you just worship idols, you basically neutralize God, but you haven't taken anything away from him. If you curse him, you've also taken something away from him. So there's a machloket, and that's what Rabbi Akiva said before, is it megadef mevarechet Hashem? Now we see it was a machloket, whether it's really mekalel, or it's not just, but it's oved avodah zarah. Tanya Idach, another brayta says that Hashem, Rabbi Elazar ben Azar yomer ba'oved avodah zarah, Hashem umegadef, he says it's ba'oved avodah zarah, katuv medaber, v'chachamim omrim, lo ba katuv ele liten karet lemevarechet Hashem. Okay, again, it's this machloket, is it oved avodah zarah, or is it someone who curses God? Okay, we're going to quickly do the next Mishnah. Yesh meviot korban v'ne'echal, v'yesh meviot korban v'eino ne'echal. V'yesh einam meviot korban v'ne'echal. Okay, there's three types here. There's some people who bring sacrifices and eat it. There's some people who bring sacrifices and don't eat it. And there's some people who don't bring sacrifices and obviously then can't eat it. Okay, so what does this mean? This is talking about there's korbanot chatat that are not brought for sins, like the yoledet, right? It's the famous, they say, why does a yoledet bring a chatat? They say because she swore in childbirth that she would never have, right, that she would never give birth. It's always a difficult one to swallow, but it's obvious that she's not bringing a chatat because she really did a sin. It's a different type of sin offering. And there's sometimes what we're talking about here are hapalot, where a woman miscarries. Sometimes she needs to bring a korban and they eat it. Sometimes she brings a korban, you can't eat it. And sometimes she doesn't really bring a korban at all. What are the cases? Hamapelet kemim behema chayava of, if it had a look like an animal when she miscarried, do Rabbi Meir,
Rabbi Meir, period.
Okay, sorry, that's why I have Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is what Rabbi Meir says. If you're mapela kemin behema chayava of, then you bring a korban and it gets eaten. It's a vadai vlad. Okay, if it looks like an animal, we're going to see, as opposed to if it looks like dagim or chagavim, fish or grasshoppers. A little bit of an unpleasant image. The chachamim omrim ad sheyeh b'mitzurat ha'adam. Okay, they say, no, it has to look like a human fetus in order to be chayav. Hamapelet sandal o shilia. We've had these before, right? If it looks like a shoe where there's kind of no tzura on the face, no, you know, the features aren't formed. O shilia, or a placenta. O where you don't see a fetus in there. O shfir, or shfir merukam, like a sack. If it comes out in pieces, v'chein shivcha sheipila, or a maid servant that has a miscarriage, mivi'ach korban v'ne'echal. Okay, all those are also, you bring a korban and it's eaten. Ve'elu mivi'ot ve'ena ne'echalo. Who are the people who bring a korban but you can't eat it? Remember, that's suffik. You can't eat it mishum, if you bring it mishum suffik. Why? Because maybe it's chulin in the azara, and you can't eat chulin ba'azara. So since it's suffik, it can't get eaten. Hamapele ve'en yodea mahipila. Okay, if she's not sure what she miscarried. Okay, we're going to see what the options are later. What if there were two women who both miscarried, but we don't know which one miscarried what? One from a min that's patur, and one that's a min that's chayav. Okay, then you wouldn't, there's a case where you would bring one, but you wouldn't be able to eat it. Okay, they would each bring, but you wouldn't be able to eat it because you're not sure. It's mishum safek. But that's only if this one went one way and that one went one way, meaning they can't bring one together. But im hayu shtehen umdot, shtehen mivim mibiyot korban. If both of them were standing in the same place in the mikdash, then together they could bring one because they know the vadeh, the chayav a korban, and it could be eaten. It's only if they're no longer with each other, so we have one of hers, and therefore we're not sure which one is the vadai. So therefore, they get brought but not eaten. Ve'elu she'ein meviot. Okay, now we get to the ones who can't bring. Hamapelet shvir male ma'im. If the shvir is just the sack is just full of water, male dam or blood, male gininim or different colors. Hamapelet kemin dagim v'chagavim shkatzim u'rimatzim. Okay, so anything looks like any of those. Hamapelet yomar ba'im. Okay, on the 40th day to the Yetzirat Havlat for when she conceived, right, up until the 40th day, v'yotze dofen, and if it's a C-section. Rabbi Shimon, mechayev v'yotze dofen. He's mechayev v'yotze dofen. Obviously, we're talking about a miscarriage that was a yotze dofen. Okay. I guess we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up from the Gemara tomorrow.
Just assuming the woman lived. Okay.